It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 50 years ago, longtime civil rights activist and Pittsburgh City Councilman Salahuddin was a 19-year-old living in New York with his aunt and cousin. Uddin recently sat down with 90.5 WESA's senior news editor Mark Neutbar and talked about his experience at the March on Washington in 1963.
I had gotten involved with the Staten Island chapter of the NAACP Youth Council. And they had a bus that they were renting to take people from Staten Island to the March on Washington. And they had an additional 10 seats. And they asked the Youth Council if we thought we could fill those 10 seats. It turns out that we not only filled the 10 seats, but we chartered another bus for ourselves.
As you got to Washington, D.C., did you know right away this was going to be a big event?
Well, we knew that it was going to be an important event, but I had no way to judge the size of the crowd that was to accumulate on that mall as the day went on. We got there early in the morning, and there were a lot of people, but it wasn't a huge, crushing crowd. But as the day wore on, the crowd continued to grow and grow and grow and became the largest crowd I had ever seen in my young life.
The energy must have been amazing.
It was electric.
Yeah, what was it like?
Well, people were in anticipation of hearing from the civil rights workers who were coming from the South to share their stories and experiences with the people at the march. And there was also great anticipation for the keynote speaker who was going to be the giant Dr. Martin Luther King.
What was that like? I mean, we've all heard it on tape, but what was it like to hear it fresh?
Well, I got to tell you, it was obviously spellbinding. It was an unbelievable speech. I'd never heard a speech like that. But nobody knew that we were listening to a speech that would be quoted a half a century from then. But people who are accustomed to going to black churches on Sunday morning are accustomed to powerful speeches like that coming from the pulpit. So a lot of people were not surprised. But this particular speech about the civil rights movement in the South was more than just a sermon. It was a speech that it was a political speech that reached out and pulled in people from a very wide cross-section of the society.
When you returned to New York, did you just feel that momentum and that energy, like things were going to really start happening?
I'll tell you what I was feeling. I want to join this effort. I want to join up. I want to go down south. I want to be a freedom rider. I've got to put myself in this struggle. Up to that point, I was kind of observing the struggle, as Northerners tend to do. But having heard Dr. King, I decided that I was not going to just observe it. I was going to join it.
And you did become an activist.
I became a freedom rider and went to the Delta of Mississippi. And my original plan was to stay for 4 months and then come back to New York and finish college. I ended up staying 4 years and was arrested at least 30 times.
Is it fair then to say that it was this March on Washington that really launched you in that direction and made you what you are today?
That is exactly what happened.
You've been to other big events in Washington, D.C., correct?
There are some of us left who were on the Mall in 1963 on August 28th, and then who returned to that same Mall in January of 2009 to witness the inauguration of the first African-American president of the United States and the culmination of that struggle. And not only did we witness the two bookend historical events, but we were a part of the struggle to help create that culmination of electing an African-American president within 50 years of the time that we marched on Washington. That is a rapid transition of history.
But there's still a struggle going on. Tell me, you know, what were you guys talking about then that you're still working on now?
On the one hand, there has been tremendous progress in the struggle for human rights and civil rights for African Americans and for political and economic democracy and equality. On the other hand, it is amazing how stubborn racism continues to be in America and how impossible it seems to be for America to purge racism from its culture and from its psyche. Who would think that we still have to fight for a Voting Rights Act in 2013?
If this event launched people like yourself into this life of activism, this decision to become a freedom writer, is there something like that happening with the next generation today?
I think for a lot of people, it was Trayvon Martin, or not so much national events, but local events happen and have that same impact on local communities.
What would you tell a group of 19-year-olds if they were before you and were thinking about this type of movement?
They have to be able to see out of both eyes. They have to be able to see the vast opportunity that is available for them if they're willing to work to achieve it. But they also have to see the obstacles and the traps that are set for them as they go toward those goals.
What would you tell your own 19-year-old self if you could leave yourself a message 50 years ago?
I wouldn't change a thing. Not one iota.
Longtime civil rights activist and Pittsburgh City Councilman Salah Uddin speaking with WESA's Mark Neutbar about his memories of being at the March on Washington 50 years ago. Uddin will be in Washington this weekend for the official marking of the anniversary. He says he will observe the actual anniversary next Wednesday quietly in his home, as he has nearly every anniversary of the event. Monday at noon, we'll follow up on this weekend's commemorative events in Washington, D.C. If you're going to the March on Washington this Saturday, or if you were there 50 years ago, call and leave a message about your experience at 412-256-8783. We'd love to share your story.